You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we're going to be talking about day one of the first test between England and South Africa, or at least session one of the first test of day one between England and South Africa. The rain came down hard and ruined everyone's fun. I'm Jack Cope. I'm joined by Ross Legg. Ross, it hasn't rained in London for 100 days. How predictable was it that it would rain today?
Yes, the MNC Egg and Bacon Rain Dance. Everyone knows, but if you organise a test match in England, then you're going to be fighting with Mother Nature herself. So, yeah, I'm not surprised to see the rain come down.
Neither am I. It is kind of funny in a sense. Before we get on with the show, obviously we'll be talking about South Africa being really good, England, you know, coming back to earth slightly. A few quick messages. So you're looking around the screen if you're watching it on YouTube. We're live for the first time in a while as well. So say hi in the chat if you want to. We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/thecricketpod. From £4 a month, you can help support the show. That gives you bonus content and it makes us happy. That's good, isn't it? That is good. At the bottom of the screen, or just, you know, listening using your ears now, this show is presented by Manscaped. Get 20% off at manscaped.com using the code CRICKETPOD. I haven't got Max to talk about testicles today, Ross, so you're up. Talk to me about your testicles, please. Or someone else's testicles.
Also, I always thought that the ball tampering scandal got put into all kinds of different levels of complexity. There was tears with Stephen Smith kind of crying. You had the whole of Australia kind of against it. And this was all because of ball tampering. With Manscaped, you don't need to be worrying about that, do you? It's a clean shave.
Exactly. Yeah. Or not. I mean, you've got different settings. You could go for
skin fade.
Yeah. Yeah. You could go for the high fade. That's really up to you to decide, isn't it? Like, it's not,
you could cut three cricket wickets into it, couldn't you? You could do whatever you want.
Exactly.
One nice stump perhaps. But
we're not going to tell you what to do with the Lawnmower 4.0, the best in below the belt grooming, but we are going to tell you that you should use the code CRICKETPOD for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Don't be a Cameron. Did you hear this, Ross?
Yeah,
on the show.
Yeah, use someone else's code. What a Cameron.
Yeah, don't be a Cameron. Be you. Use the code CRICKETPOD. Right, Ross. Can you in 30 seconds tell us the state of the play in the cricket?
Yeah, of course I can. So we have England lost the toss, so South Africa won it. They stuck England into bat, which goes against baseball philosophy. They typically thought they'd win every toss and be able to bat second and bat fourth. What's happened here is that they came out in very favourable conditions this morning on a green one at Lord's. You'd think Lord's would want to extend the games like Oval do for 5 days, but nope, they want games over within 3 days. Rabada was steaming in. Geedy seaming it everywhere, Jansen offering the point of difference, and Norkia coming in bowling 90-mile-an-hour rockets. And it was all a bit too much for most of the England batsmen. Lees and Crawley, unfortunately, gave it away yet again to have some good disciplined bowling from Rabada. Ollie Pope, the only point of praise, I suppose, in this back lineup at three, still not out in 61. And then you had the likes of Bairstow, Stokes and Folks, all removed by Norkia. Bairstow in particular it all ends up and then pretty much scurrying back to his car and leaving the ground, it kind of felt like. And Root was on a bit of a harsh LBW, I thought. On field, it didn't look out and it was just clipping the wickets. But them's the rules.
Yeah, they are the rules. So England in a spot of bother at 116-6 at the end of the day. The thing that struck me, Ross, was how well all of the South African bowlers bowled and how well, again, they fit together as a unit. So we had opening up Rabada and Ngidi. And Ngidi was, you know, I think he's the only one who didn't pick up a wicket, but he was jagging the ball all over the place. They went upstairs for a review on Pope where it was doing a bit too much. Then the next ball he bowled, went over the top of our stump with Pope leaving a good leave, but like the ball came back a long way. And then at the other end, Rabada, it was a textbook Lord's bowling performance, basically, from Rabada, slightly fuller than maybe a good length at other grounds, using the slope. He got Alex Lees, a bit of a loose shot, you'd say, probably, but also sort of somewhat predictable. I mean, if you were Rabada, it was good bowling too. Like what Alex Lees is trying to do by aiming a huge booming drive at a ball slightly back of a length is knock you off that length. And that's what England did really, really well against New Zealand. They just and India, they just battered bowlers off a length. And so then the bowlers were bowling sort of all sorts of crazy things. And effectively going away from their plan. Rabada was like, no, I'm good enough, I'm going to get you. And he did. Then we saw the bowling change. Marco Jansen got more swing than everyone else, left arm angle as well. So that was a really interesting point of difference. And Norkia, who was expensive, and England actually found some early joy against, I think he went for 15 off his first couple of overs. It looked like he was going to be the Matt Henry figure or the Siraj figure of this test at one point. He drags it back, he bowls very fast, he bowls very full, he bowls very straight, and he had a bit too much, I think, for Bairstow on that occasion. And he had probably had a bit too much for Folkes a bit later on, and he definitely had too much for Stokes, who was playing, like, you know, effectively, he was playing down the wrong line, but that was because of the movement that Norkia got. So I think that's one of the most impressive bowling performances I've seen from a pack of bowlers as a whole. It wasn't just like one guy bowling well. We've seen some good solo virtuoso performances. As a collective, they did really well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And we talked about it on the preview show, right? Of saying that this bowling lineup is no joke. They're top of the World Test Championship for a reason. Rabada was touch and go on whether he was going to be included, and you saw how important he is here. But again, they've got those points of difference. And it's kind of what England kind of wanted, right? When they were having that kind of Jimmy Anderson in the kind of Rabada role, you had kind of Jofra Archer or Mark Wood in that Norkia role. You had Sam Curran try to be the left arm of bringing in something that Jansen offers a little bit faster and more bounce. But that kind of makeup and that variety is what England were looking for. We've got loads of injuries at the moment, but South Africa have nailed this, and what a perfect start. Not to take away from it, they made the most of the conditions. How many times have we seen England in bowling conditions like this kind of rip through lineups? They did it against New Zealand, which we mentioned again on the preview show. And here they've capitalised, and fair play to them.
Yeah, they were really good. I think you wanted to talk about the toss and the impact that had on the game. I thought it was pretty predictable that if South Africa won, that they would stick England in. What you tend to see at Lord's is that it's a bit trickier on day one. It flattens out later on day two. Days three and four can be quite good for batting. I think it's a bit of a no-brainer to bowl first. Then you've got the whole Bazball dynamic. What did you make of that?
I think it's quite fun. I think you did a bit of Photoshop onto a grave, didn't you, on a gravestone on Twitter, saying Bazball died today. I don't really buy into that rhetoric. I'm very much like, you've just had a really good bowling lineup come up against, let's be fair, Zach Crawley, Alex Lee still finding his feet at this team. Like, it was just good bowling. You're going to come up against really good bowling lineups, and you're not going to be able to twat it everywhere all the time. And that's okay. It's all right for England to be behind the eight ball here. But if they can kind of have their tail wag a little bit, it's a relatively long tail, and get up to 200, then who knows with this team?
I think 200 keeps them in the game. And the man that might get them there is Ollie Pope, 62 not out. He's batted very, very well, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he looks far less jittery. Every single report I've read, and if you're watching the highlight, he looks far less jittery, I think. Early on, he left a couple outside off stump that hit his bat, so there's still a little bit of indecision there and not quite getting his technique right. But again, he's looking more assured, more confident, and you have to be that at number three. And now he's going to have to bat with and marshal the tail. He's not going to have loads and loads of experience for England doing that, right? Because normally they just all get out. So we'll see if Stuart Broad could actually hang around for a little bit. I think they're just going to have to come out and have a bit of a swing. I think that's going to be their piece, right? They're going to have to do something where there's no point trying to bat properly, is what I'm trying to say. They should come out, have a bit of a go. And if Jack Leach can then hang around after Stuart Broad's hit a quick 30 and Matty Potts has potentially done the same, Ollie Pope might well be on to 100 and we're up to that kind of 190, 200 mark that we can then hopefully defend.
I think it would be a bit of a miracle, to be honest, if England did make it up. Another 84 runs is going to be pretty difficult. They have deployed the Nighthawk, though. So on paper, Matty Potts is probably a better option to come in over Broad. And maybe actually were so too for Jack Leach, who can, as you said, at least hold up an end. I don't want to overanalyze the tactical intricacies of which of England's number 11 they send in at number 8. But it was quite interesting. Nokia bowling, you know, heat. They send in Stuart Broad. I didn't think it was the obvious choice, let's say.
No, but I think comes down to what Broad's batting's like, right? Everyone tries to bowl at his head or everyone tries to pitch it up to him. And actually Stuart Broad can throw the bat at it and it kind of plays into it. He's hit a century at Lord's, let's not forget, against Pakistan. I think it's probably a risk worth taking. Like, England are not going to be able to bat out against these bowlers. They are too good for these number 11s. They need to have a bit of a swing and hopefully get England up to something they might be able to make a game of. Anything less than 180, and it's going to be very, very difficult for them. The only thing that does benefit from it is the horrible weather that we've got, and it's planned to be relatively horrible for the next few days as well. So we'll see what happens.
South Africa, from a selection point of view, they went with Maharaj instead of Simon Harmer. Interesting call. Here's the question, though. Will Maharaj bowl an over in this test match?
At this point, it's not looking likely, is it? I kind of said this in the preview show around England's selection. I didn't think that Jack Leach was potentially the right selection for England's lineup. I think this Lord's pitch has been a bit of a graveyard for bowlers. I think Simon Harmer's bowling average at Lord's is over 40, which is ridiculous because Simon Harmer is amazing. Maharaj obviously offers the left-hand approach, and that has made difficult for England. Akshar Patel, Jadeja, etc. Lemon Land from Sri Lanka. So, yeah, it's not a surprising selection, that one.
Okay, we've got some questions in, and some of these will be on themes that I imagine that people will be expecting us to pick up on. The cricket slouch, what does the future hold for Crawley? He had a couple of good innings in the last 12 months, but I don't see signs of improvement required for an opener, and he continues to edge the slips. Right, for what it's worth here, I think, viewed in a vacuum, Zach Crawley being nicked off by Rabada at Lord's on the first morning, where the team end up 116-6 after 30 overs, is not necessarily a problem. There's going to be a lot of good players. And there were a lot of, there were some better players than Zach Crawley who got out for, in similar ways in this match. It's the bigger piece, isn't it? On Sky, they were openly basically saying it's embarrassing for him to stay in the team. Is this the point at which we drop him?
I think he's going to get the test series. Do I believe that? There is rumours that they might try to shoehorn Harry Brook into the opening berth. That is something at the moment where...
that is dear.
And it'd be a very England thing to do, wouldn't it? It'd be a very England thing to do. Well, we've got a great middle order. Harry Brook's demonstrated he can bat really well in the middle order for his county. And then go youth open as well. Let's try and add you to the fucking burning car pile of shit that we've got at the top of the order.
But, do you know what I think? I think they'll play Jet Jennings.
Jet Jennings, that'd be a brilliant return. That'd be an unbelievable return.
I think they don't really know who they want as an opener. They kind of think, probably, don't they, that Lease is one of them at this point. I think they'll give Lease a few more matches at least. I think even if he was a bit iffy, think they liked what he did when he stood up to Virat Kohli, and told him he had more kids than Kohli had centuries in the last 2 years. I think Crawley, my time might be up, but I don't think England have got a next best option in mind right now. So I think there's a possibility they go back to Jennings with a view that, or with a plan that he gets them through a couple of series or something like that, and also sort of knowing that if he fails, it's not the end of the world. They can just bin him off again and move on to somebody else, and it's not probably move back to Zach Crawley, like
quite possibly.
I think it was interesting. Broad, we talked about Broad v Robinson, didn't we, before the test? Stokes said that the 11 players, you know, it was their shirts to lose, basically. What I kind of read from that, to be honest, it wasn't so much individual performance that England were looking at, or Stokes was looking at, or McCullum was looking at. It was more, you know, that they were going to stick with this 11 until they lost a match. That's what I thought. That's what I think will happen. I think they're probably, let's say, they're not favourites to win this one, are they, at this point in time? Like, I don't want to completely write off Bazball. They've been in some sticky situations in the last four tests, but it's a long way back. If they do lose, I think he's gone.
Yeah, quite possibly. I still think draw is the most likely possibility at the moment.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where you're getting your weather report from, but my weather report. This is a real cricket conversation. It says very little chance of rain tomorrow, very little chance of rain on Friday, very little chance of rain on Saturday, and a little bit of a chance of rain on Sunday. With one team 6 wickets down, only 100 runs on the board. South Africa only have to get 300.
Yeah.
I'm
not totally convinced by South Africa's batting either, if I'm perfectly honest. I think England have the bowling unit to cause them trouble. And I think this could be one of those real low scoring duff affairs and a bit of a doo-ha.
I'm interested to see it. I think South Africa will take the opposite approach, won't they? They'll just try and grind England down. I think they might have some joy when it flattens out a little bit. So we've done thoughts on Maharaj over Harmer from Samir. We've got one from Sean Ferrari, and I don't know the answer to this, Ross. This is a very difficult question. Can you confirm if play starts at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow? Aussie who will be at Lord's for the first time. We don't want to get this wrong. There's a lot of pressure on this. Here's what I would say. I don't know, but I would turn up at 10, drink in some atmosphere, you know, pop your champagne cork. Or have a coffee. Enjoy,
who's turning up to the test match like 1 minute before the game starts? I don't understand. You've got to get there, you've got to eat breakfast, you've got to take it in, go sit on the nursery ground, you know, just go and enjoy yourself.
Go and sit on the wet field.
Bacon, it'll be fine. Get yourself a champagne, get yourself a Bellini to start the day.
My understanding is that it's 11 o'clock. They did start at 10:30, didn't they, for the India series, but I think that was because of the Indian TV market. I don't think it was for any other reasons. 11 o'clock is a traditional start time because people need to be able to get their off-peak train to the ground. And if we don't start at 11 o'clock, then some people might miss 20 minutes of cricket. So there's that. Ross, we're on to Discord. If you're a Discord member, you ask us, not a Discord member, if you're a Patreon member, you have access to a Discord where we chat about cricket all day. And then we answer your questions on the show in the evening. And these are slightly off topic, Ross. I don't know if you saw the new ICC schedule today for the next round of tours. We had a few questions about this, and effectively what we thought of it. Did you see this? You may not have.
No. I've seen is that West Indies are pretty much being relegated to kind of almost an associate level nation in terms of the amount of test matches they're actually getting allowed to play. So yeah, again, you're starting to see the power of the big three, who typically just going to play against themselves, really, and the majority of test matches is what I've taken away from it.
Yeah, I don't think it was great. I think it's 6 tests a year for West Indies over the next 5 years. It averages out at. It's not great for Pakistan either. I think they had 27 tests to the 46 tests that Australia were playing, which is, you know, a pretty big drop off. Not at all fantastic. Last couple of questions, Ross. You would conclude today, this is from VJ, that it was or would you conclude that it was an unlucky day for England, or is it a day where Bazball unravel? I think that's a good question to sort of end on. And it's the last one.
Yeah, I think I kind of touched upon it before. I think Lord's first morning, you typically find it's easier to bowl first. The weather conditions benefit the bowling team as well. And what a bowling unit is, right? They've got seam, they've got swing, they've got pace, they've got bounce. It's difficult for any back lineup to come up against. But we'll see what happens tomorrow morning when England are inevitably all out for, 150, maybe 140. see if England can repay the favour and reduce it to, maybe a lead of 50 for South Africa keeps them in the game.
But yeah. I'm not
taking hopeful. And a lot of buffs.
I think this South Africa, I think from what I've seen, this is the best team, the best bowling unit that England have come up against probably for 2 years. And new idea or not. And I include India last summer in this. I think there were some good bowlers for India. I think Bumrah would improve the South Africa team. But I think they're like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They were so, so good and they got everything right. The right, how many teams would have bowled just back of a length and had the ball nipping all over the place and kept missing the outside edge? They didn't do that. They weren't full. They got Root. The Rabada just nailing the sort of Glenn McGrath area to get Crawley. And then Norkia bowling thunderbolts to get the other three. I just thought they were so good and worked so well as a four. I don't think England have got that. I don't think Broad, of England's bowlers, who gets in the South Africa team? Maybe Anderson. Probably Anderson in England.
Hey, but it's end of play thing. As I said, we've got to wait till both teams are battered on it.
I don't know if we do. I think we saw a really, really good, the best bowling attack that certainly the Bazball era England have come up against. Dish out a little bit of a lesson or put England in their place slightly when it comes to what's possible. Anyway, Ross, we're going to wrap up now. Good talking with you. We'll be back tomorrow after play. Hopefully, we'll have a little bit more cricket. 98 overs scheduled. And we will see where this test goes.